This podcast is a TOEFOP production.
Head to TOEFOP.com for more. Hello and welcome to TOEFOP. I'm Will Anderson, and joining me, the return of guest Charlie number one. It's a DOFOP. Dave Anthony is here. Hello, Dave.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Everything's fine. I don't know if you've seen the news from Australia. All good. Everything's fine.
Everything. I just keep seeing. Yeah, it just sounds awesome. Like, it sounds. Congratulations on just escaping COVID and then having just great weather and, you know.
Well, you know what the great thing about the great weather is? That it has really distracted from the COVID cases in the community. I mean, I said this to Gareth when I had him on the show, but you don't say this very often, but Trump was right. Trump was absolutely right. He nailed it right at the start when he said, the best way for us to have no cases is for us to do less testing and then whatever the testing is, just ignore the results.
That's right.
And that is now Australian government official policy. We are now just going, oh yeah, there's 20,000 COVID cases in the community, but you know, guess what? Everywhere in the Northern Rivers now has a water view. So let's concentrate on that for a while.
Oh, that's great. That's what they're doing in England, and they're doing that in America now too. So it's the trifecta of our dad and the stepchildren are all doing the same thing.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. Like, we're not bad parents if we all take them to McDonald's for food, right?
That's right. If everybody does the same thing and just has their kids eat pixie sticks for dinner, then it's all fine. Well, you guys, you don't even know what pixie sticks are, do you?
I don't know what pixie sticks are. Let me have a guess at what pixie sticks are. So pixie sticks, oh, gee, even hard to unpack it from the name. I've got to be honest with you. So pixie, I imagine some sort of magic fairy dust, right? Like, it's some sort of like.
Okay.
Am I warm in any way with that?
Yeah, I would say you're very close right now.
Okay. So, because I always think pixie dust. So, is it some sort of like sherbet that comes in a stick?
Okay. So, it is essentially, I don't even know if they make them anymore, but it was a straw tied on both ends. And then you would untie one end and just like pour. It was like flavored sugar, or like a little bit lighter than sugar, but it was just like a flavored granular thing that you would just take a mouthful of. That was it.
So hang on. It's a plastic straw full of white stuff?
I think it's you're thinking of cocaine. A paper.
I think what you're talking about at the moment is cocaine.
And then you snort it, and then you just talk for a while. Eight hours.
You guys want any pixie sticks? You got any pixie sticks, guys? Man, I had so many pixie sticks when I wrote this episode of The West Wing. You would not believe it. 9 pixie sticks.
That's the only way that I can understand how you would write The West Wing.
Oh, by the way, just before we get on to all the other things, big news, exciting news. I meant to reach out to yourself and Josh, who do the West Wing thing, for people who don't know, to inform you of the fact that one of the guest speakers at a big arts cultural festival that they have at the Sydney Opera House called Vivid, and often they'll have these like just incredible things where they will get like The Cure will come out and play their Disintegration album from start to finish, including all the B-sides. Like, you know, these quite famous for its really like getting this incredible artist and get them to come out and do this special event for this arts and cultural festival. And one of the headliners in the year 2022 at the Australian Vivid Festival is none other than the world's greatest writer, Aaron Sorkin.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
There was a bit of me that was like, I reckon if I made a call, I could put my hand up to do that interview. And I just then was wondering whether I would have it in me to actually ask the tough questions. Because if I did... Can you imagine? There's 3,000 people there, and like they're all there because they love Aaron Sorkin. Like, these aren't people who have, you know, become Sorkin truthers. They haven't gone through the looking glass. They think he's a genius. Everything that he does is genius, and it will be a night of celebrating the genius of Aaron Sorkin. So what if I said, I am willing to host this thing. I will do it for free. My only parameters I put on it is the entire thing's a walk and talk, so we're not going to sit down. We're going to do it West Wing style. for an hour and a half. I'm just going to do the interview as a walk and talk.
Walking we'll around the stage?
I'm talking about you're at the Opera House. So you walk around the Opera House.
So you're going up the stairs and...
We maybe get on the Manly Ferry. We pop over to Luna Park. We walk back across the bridge.
Yes.
This is the interview. Everybody's sitting in the Opera House, but it's just being... And we finish it by walking into the Opera House, and that's like when, you know, we do the kind of final bit of the interview. So that's my pitch. Yeah. And then I just ask him about how he destroyed modern democracy over and over again for an hour and a half in different locations.
Yeah, first question is, so Dave Anthony from the West Wing thing says, and then he freezes because he knows about us, guaranteed. Oh, you have to do this. I want this to happen. I want you to interview Aaron Sorkin on a walk and talk.
I know. It would be so... I mean, I would love to do that interview. I would love to have him on. Like, I mean, if he came to Australia and I got offered him for... like philosophy. I think he'd be a great philosophy guest because there'd be heaps of things that I'd be super interested in hearing his take on, even if I disagree with the take.
Sure.
I would want to have the conversation. Like half an hour of that hour and a half would just, I'd want to be able to go, I'll give you like an hour of like like let's celebrate the glory of you for an hour. And then just for half an hour, here are a list of questions my friend Dave Anthony has provided. We're just going to do a little lightning round where I'm going to ask you 120 questions in 30 minutes.
The first question is, are you dumb?
No, the first question is, I'm going to go to the statement. You are dumb. Prove me wrong. Why are you not dumb? Prove to me that you are not dumb.
Prove it. Please prove it that you're not done. And this is just all foreign policy. You have to say it through foreign policy, what you know, what you don't know.
Well, you know what the first thing I would say to him as he walked out on stage, I'd look at him and I'd say, thank God the Americans are here. Because that's what people say when Americans come to their country.
They still say that.
I'd be like, thank God the Americans are here.
Yeah, well, it wasn't until, after Trump, people don't say that. But up until Trump, everybody always said, thank God the Americans are here. You see it all over Iraq. You see it all over Libya. They just love us.
Oh, I think at the same time as George Bush was dropping that mission accomplished flag in the background, the rest of the world had our flags going out. Thank God the Americans are here. That doesn't get coverage covered as much, but like
they don't. They really, it really doesn't. It should. It's look. That was a big moment for everybody in the world.
You spoke about Trump. We were having a conversation with our neighbors this morning, and we were sharing some hot cross buns with our neighbors.
Sure.
And
sure you were.
Yeah, we were. And so we were talking about politics as the topic might arise, and they were talking about the idea that Trump would be the next president of America again. So I said to them, I said, well, I've got my friend Dave Anthony on the podcast this morning, and he is the guy who said that he was going to be the last president. So at this stage, I know this is not the exact point where you can make a call on whether he's going to be the next president or not, but what's your early suspicion? Dipping the toe in the water, what's your vibe from America about the possibilities of that being a thing?
Yeah, very high probability. At this point, there's so many variables right now as far as like Biden.
I mean, the planet even existing by the next election, I would imagine, is one of them.
I mean, there's that variable, which, but pretending on the off chances the planet is still around, there's so many variables. One variable is, do the Republicans actually go with him? Because, you know, there are some that have turned off a little bit, and then you have some other good candidates that are crazier almost, like DeSantis. So they could do that. They might not even pick him. He also might be too scared to run. Like, there's, like, it's already stolen anyway. I mean, that's the thing. Like, whatever Republican wants it, it's stolen at this point. But all the other variables, like Biden, will he run? Will the Democrats take him out? Like, he's
that's unfair. That would be mean to him. Like, regardless of what you think of his politics, you can't just drag an old man Weekend at Bernie style around another election campaign in the hope that he might win it.
Yes, they can.
And just like, just chuck his like, you know, limp corpse into the White House and go, there you go, Joe. No, it's unfair. Let the guy retire.
I could see them running him. I they're so dumb. The Democrats are so dumb. I could totally see them being like, but then if they don't, they'll be like, they'll pull some trick where they'll go to the convention and then they'll be like, oh no, he can't run. Something happened. He's not healthy. And they'll be like, it's going to be Hillary. And everyone be like, what the fuck just happened? I could really see them doing something like that. So yeah, it's up in the air, but I would say very, very strong possibility that Trump will win re-election.
Is there anybody, because like, I mean, I imagine their plan was Harris, right? That they would transition to Harris.
Yeah.
You get Kamala in there. She's immediately popular with everybody. Everybody loves her. Mm-hmm. She looks like a good option. It's very modern America. Like Harris runs next time with the support of Joe Biden. And that's your plan for the next 8 years. I imagine that's kind of what they ideally would have been thinking. But you get to the point where taking Joe out is like putting Muhammad Ali back in the ring at the end, right? Like, you know what? If you beat Muhammad Ali in a fight in the last couple of years, you can't brag about that. That is, he was an old man who did not know what was going on. Like, you were like, I knocked down Ali. Yeah, when he was 80. Like, that's unfair. That is completely unfair.
Yeah.
Harris clearly hasn't captured the American public's attention. So
she's
is
so
there,
bad. She's...
other than Hillary, is there anybody else who... like, who's their next Obama? You know, the person who comes out of nowhere and...
There's
like,
one person. There is one person that can announce and win the election easily. The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. That's the only guy that can do this. It's literally the only guy that can maybe save us from fascism is Dwayne The Rock fucking Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, truly, that's it. Like, I can't think of anybody else that could announce and everyone would be like, okay, I'll vote for him. Like, he's the only person.
Well, here's the thing I say. If that ends up happening, if The Rock does indeed run for president, and I can see the sense behind that, right? Like, if you need to go up against somebody who appeals to that show busy world, the Trump world, The Rock is a better version of that. He would get the people who want the aspirational America. He is actually a self-made person.
Yeah.
He is what Trump pretends to
100%.
Right? This is this guy who came from being, I mean, you know, a little nepotism. He's the son of a wrestler, but like his college football career didn't go where he wanted it to be. He pivoted. He became a wrestler. He was in the shadow of his father. He like became the most famous person in wrestling. He pivoted that into like a movie career when people like mocked the shit out of him. Like,
yeah.
Oh, The Rock's going to be a movie star now. He's been so successful as a movie star. He's consistently the number one movie star in the world, but not just that. He's opened up movies to every wrestler now to think that movies is part of your wrestling career. Like, blokes like John Cena and dudes like that are having massive wrestling, massive movie careers because of what The Rock did originally to open that up. He's made this TV show, like, you know, Lil Rock or whatever it's called, that's all about his story. He's basically put his story out there into the public. It's all based in this fictional universe where he is the president. So he's already...
Yeah.
Getting everybody used to this idea. He's got a sense of humor with it. And he's the only person who's a bigger brand than Trump.
That's right.
Like, you know, he is a guy who pulled himself up. He's the American story. He's aspirational for Americans. If I can do it, anyone can do it. You just have to spend 18 hours in the gym every day and then every Sunday eat 19 pieces of French toast. That's all you've got to do.
That's it. That's the whole thing. That's all you got to do. And make an occasional movie. And he's the one guy that doesn't come out and you're like, oh, that's a Democrat. Oh, that's a Republican right away. No one knows what he is. Right. I think he's a Republican. But he doesn't carry all that baggage.
I think he is what they all pretend to be. Like, they all pretend to be something else. He's actually it, which is what America seems to want, or at least the political class of America seems to want, is somebody who has slightly socially left values. But when it comes to money and the system and aspiration and, you know, wealth and all those sort of things, has very American values when it comes to that. Like, you know, that sort of Republican capitalistic values.
Yeah. And then hopefully it just sets up a series of wrestlers as presidents from there on out. After he does his 8 years and we get another wrestler, then another wrestler, and it's just all wrestlers.
Well, this is what I was going to say. If The Rock becomes president, everyone always talks about when Trump became president, like it was the Idiocracy universe, right? They were the ones who predicted it. But I'm going on the record that without a doubt, Tofop was the first podcast that suggested that The Rock should be president of America. So if he does become Like, I'm in just because I think it'll be good for the podcast. I think it'll be good for people going back going, well, yeah, they suggested way back in the day The Rock should run with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And
yes.
That is the perfect ticket.
Yeah, it is. That is the perfect ticket. Why wouldn't you? God, I wonder who he would pick, though. I mean, that would be the cincher, right? Because he would have to pick a Democrat or a Republican, and then everyone would switch sides. I don't know how you demonize. The thing is the whole Republican thing is demonize whoever's running. I don't know how you demonize The Rock. Like, I don't think it's a thing you can do. I mean, you could try to dig stuff up, but it's The Rock. I think he's not, but I don't think those arms are huge.
Most of what he's done is out there. You know, like anything that there might be some sort of secret is out there. The fact of who he is absolutely on the public record. He's an incredible communicator on social media. You know, he'd be able to talk to young people in a way that no other candidates can. But literally, imagine, like, he's, like, when he was a wrestler, he was the people's champion. For 30 years, his brand has been, I am here for you guys. I am here to entertain you, to look after you, to be, you know, part of your story. That's, like, it's not like suddenly they get him in and then try to slap this brand on him. He could run under the people's champion. I'm not running as a Democrat. I'm not running as a Republican. I am running for the people of America.
Right.
I will be the people's champion. I was the people's champion in the wrestling ring, and I'm going to be the people's champion fighting for this country on the world stage.
And Steven Seagal is my VP.
And Steven Seagal is vice president. No, foreign affairs. Like, you know, Dennis Rodman, foreign affairs. Steven Seagal, like, security. Feels like security.
Yeah, he puts together the craziest batch of from his first cabinet.
I mean, it would be good, actually, if we're going to have The Rock as president, maybe that is what you've got to do. Instead of, like, a Department of, like, Foreign Affairs or, like, you know, the CIA or whoever to do that, you've got to get together a suicide squad.
Oh, yeah.
So you just get, you know, so this is the sort of thing. You start casting the various departments through Hollywood. You've got all these great Hollywood connections.
Yeah.
You know who needs to be in charge of marine biology? James Cameron. He's the guy inventing all the technology to go down there anyway.
Lenny Dykstra handles the Department of Education.
Right.
Like, no one knows in Australia knows. He's an crazy ex-baseball player. But you just do absolute madmen and put him in charge of everything. It's the way to go.
So how are things in America? I haven't had to catch up with you for a while about, like, the state of your nation. Like, what's the go? What's going on?
I mean, it's like you guys in the sense of COVID, right? It's all the same stuff. Everyone's acting like it's over, and you're like, yeah, that's not a thing. So it's very bizarre. Like, everyone's just now walking around. If you wear a mask, which I do, I'm like, 10% of people do, and they all stare at you because they're like, what are you doing? It's over. And you're like, it's not. So there's that.
So, okay, on that, so the community I live in is pre-COVID, they were the anti-vax capital of Australia. So they did not embrace masks either, it's fair to say. And
oh, they didn't. But aren't they? But they're more lefty hippie-ish against vaccines, right? They're not righty against vaccines?
Yeah, well, originally, but as you might have noticed in the last couple of years, suddenly you're seeing a lot of marches where lefty hippie-ish people are marching alongside neo-Nazis, you know, so.
Yeah, that's an interesting, that's a very interesting thing that's happened.
The world's really changed a little. It's like, just when you throw your arm up, yell out namaste and really stretch through that. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah, we really needed people to come together and it turned out to be the wrong people.
Yeah, we've got a lot in common. I'm on a juice cleanse and he wants a juice cleanse, so. Oh, my God. I can't believe I've wasted that joke on this podcast. That is... I've been trying to unlock a good joke about that topic. You know what,
it's
guys?
A good
You're
going
to have to just hear that one again at the show. I'm sorry. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, no masks. But I generally just... Well, I do wear my mask everywhere, and I...
Yeah.
Often say that I'm the only person in the community still wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. And I have not been bothered at all. Like, nobody has dared ever mention to me at any point. Like, I don't know if because I'm a big guy or if people still know who I am and they don't want to end up in the show, which is very smart, by the way, because absolutely you would end up in the show out of one of those encounters.
100%. Yeah.
And I had an incident just yesterday, though. So I was going into town, and there's a health food shop in town that even at the height of like a few people dabbling in wearing masks and us all being serious about it, they were the health food shop that was very much on the, you know, masks are all bullshit and they're actually worse. And,
oh my God.
You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, here's some $90 activated almonds. We have no skin in this game. But no possible reason we as a health food store might be telling you to not take the free medicine from the government. But yeah, you keep buying those activated almonds. Almonds aren't going to activate themselves. So, anyway.
I don't even know what an activated almond is. What is that?
Oh, yeah, right? Oh, it's something that health food companies made up to charge more money for almonds.
How are you activating them? Like, are they sleeping almonds and then you give them something and then they're activated?
Yeah, they don't go in. I assume there is a process, but they don't go into it. They just put activated on it and they charge three times more. And people go, well, they must be better.
Well, these ones have been activated. Well,
they wouldn't cost, they say activated and they cost three times more. So,
I mean, if you eat an unactivated almond now, what are you getting?
May as well not even eat an almond. May as well eat a rock. It's just like pick up a rock from the side of the road.
It's like eating cardboard. It's just a completely pointless almond at that point.
Yeah. I mean, what are you doing if it hasn't been activated?
I can't believe that's the dumbest marketing thing I've ever heard, and people have bought into it.
Oh, massively bought into it. Okay, I'm gonna Google activated almonds and see if I can find
what
any
the
of
fuck?
The, like, see if there's any science behind it at all. So, activated almonds. So, here we go. How do we activate our almonds? Oh, okay, hang on. I'm not going to go to goodness.com.au because that feels like a place that's being controlled by Big Almond as far as I'm concerned.
Jesus Christ.
All right, here we go. Let's go to, all right, beautiful. Activated almonds. This is where it all got attention in Australia. There's a bloke that we've probably talked about in Australia before who was a celebrity chef. And his name is Pete Evans.
Oh, the Nazi.
Well, he's embraced the views of that community. So he's like the perfect example of somebody who was at one stage like a hippie, you know, eat healthy, you know, bone broth sort of hippy-dippy chef who's now gone like full QAnon, full like, you know, the war in Ukraine conspiracies, like all that stuff, right? So I've gone to knowyourmeme.com. And so...
Sure.
KnowYourMeme.com says, activated almonds is a line from a food diary written by Australian celebrity chef Pete Evans, which was originally published in an issue of the Australian magazine Sunday Age, November 2012. Okay, so about 10 years activated almonds have been in the Australian zeitgeist. The diary was widely mocked online for its bizarre description of food items, including alkalized water and activated almonds. All right, here we go. Okay, this is his day on a plate. So I've just brought it up. Pete Evans, my day on a plate. So basically, day on a plate is this little column that they have. I don't know if it's like a worldwide thing, but they have it in the magazine where basically they just get a celebrity and they ask them what they eat all day. It's quite interesting, actually, to go like, oh, what does this person eat? What do they have for breakfast? What do they have for lunch? What do they have for dinner? It's not...
Paint.
So, well, here we go. At 7 a.m., Chef Pete Evans gets up and says he has two glasses of alkalized water with apple cider vinegar. Then
that's
then he has a smoothie.
That's the first thing he has?
Yeah, two glasses of alkalized water with apple cider vinegar. Then a smoothie of blended alkalized water, organic spirulina, activated almonds, maca, blueberries, stevia, coconut kefir, and two organic free-range eggs. Okay.
And then after the diarrhea, I have...
Oh my God. At 8:30 a.m., so that's got him through. That's got him through the first hour and a half of his day, but now he's a bit hungry.
He's hungry because he didn't eat anything. He just ate words.
For breakfast,
just garbage. Like he had two eggs, as far as I
got up. I had two eggs and a word salad, and then at 8:30 a.m. I was hungry again. So then he had some sprouted millet, some sorghum, some chia and buckwheat bread.
He's eating like a starving person eats, who just is digging stuff out of the ground. Like
but this is where it takes a turn. When he's having his sprouted millet, sorghum, chia and buckwheat bread, he has it with liver pate.
Oh, what the fuck?
So liver pate.
What just happened? That can't.
Yeah, right?
How's that on the good list?
8:30 a.m. and I'm torturing a duck for its pate. I'm force feeding a duck so I can put some pate on my buckwheat bread.
What the fuck?
So liver pate, avocado, cultured vegetables.
What does that mean? Do you take him to you take him to some shows?
Yeah. That
you,
do a show. You have,
read some
I just
books.
Went and saw Hamilton. I said it's not historically accurate, but it's very entertaining, was their review. So they're in. Well done, vegetables. Plus ginger and licorice root tea.
What is that? Ginger and licorice root tea?
Root tea.
Oh, I thought you said...
It's a tea.
Oh, it's a tea. It doesn't sound like a good tea. Root vegetables are not what I want in a tea. I'm not like, oh, wouldn't this beet be the best if it was liquid?
All right. 12:30 p.m. That's filled him up.
So far, let's just say his day is an absolute nightmare.
I mean, like, there should be, like, also in between the meals, like, how many times do you have to go to the toilet? Like, I don't want to know what you're eating unless I also know how that's balancing out with how many times.
No, this is being prepared for me by my chef, and I'm on the toilet the whole time. He brings it into me, and I eat it.
8:30 a.m., I eat my sprouted millet. 9 o'clock, I go and sit on the toilet until about 12. Then I get off, get ready for the 12:30 meal. So at 12:30, this is probably his best meal so far for me, if I was going to have to eat one of them. Fresh fish.
Okay.
Sauteed kale and broccoli.
Okay.
Spinach and avocado salad. Cultured veggies.
Again, the veggies don't need to be cultured. Just get some veggies. Also, it sucks when you go to Hamilton and there's just a big pile of veggies next to you in the seat. Next to you. I don't want that.
I prefer that. I got to be honest with you. I prefer that. You know, like a pumpkin doesn't take up a whole seat. I can use both armrests.
That's true. But sometimes, like if you get put next to a leek, you're like, well, this smells really bad and I'm trying to enjoy the play. But I know the vegetables have to be cultured.
They are. Yeah, it's a good point. I suppose that is like, how could we eat them if they weren't cultured? 3 o'clock, he gets off the toilet again and he's ready for some more activated almonds. Got to get some more activated almonds into you. Coconut chips. Cacao nibs.
What,
green tea.
What nibs?
Cacao nibs.
Right. Sure. What else would you have?
Okay. So at 6:30 p.m., it's time for dinner. I'm going to go through what he has. I'm going to leave one out and I'm going to get you to guess because you'll never guess it, but I think it'll be fun to try to get you to guess.
Cultured vegetables or pickled vegetables? Fermented?
I mean, I assumed that was the case. I didn't think they were actually going to Hamilton. Like, I thought that was a little riff we were doing. Did you actually think that we were sending our vegetables to the theater in Australia?
I knew it was a riff. I just didn't actually know what a cultured vegetable was.
It's got to be a good dollop tour when you walk out and there's just the whole head of broccoli.
You guys call pickled vegetables cultured vegetables down there to make them sound better, basically.
No, Pete Evans does.
So other people don't do this. He does this.
Well, I think cultured vegetables are they're like activated almonds. So what what, you know, pickled vegetables are to almonds, activated almonds are to cultured vegetables. They are
okay.
More expensive versions of something that is perfectly fine how it is. Which I would also say about alkalized water. Water's fine. You know what I mean? Like, these are all just things you add to add value.
I found it. It is a process called lacto-fermentation, an ancient type of food preservation that may enhance the nutrient content of a vegetable. So you're using the ancient wisdom to get more nutrients out of your carrot.
Yeah. May was doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence, I think. So at dinner, he's having some sautéed veggies, some cultured vegetables, plus a cup of ginger and licorice root tea. This is boring, by the way, this day as well. What an absolutely boring way to eat. But it's the protein that he's having for dinner that really has caught my eye, I've got to be honest with you. So it's meatballs, but it's the specific type of meat that he's making these meatballs out of that has come as a bit of a surprise to me. So it is not an animal that you would find in America. It is a specific Australian animal that he has made into meatballs.
Kangaroo?
No. Kangaroo would be a very sensible guess. People do eat kangaroo meat. It's actually very good for you. And kangaroos run wild all over the place here. So, you know, it's often very, you know, ethical to be able to farm them. So kangaroo absolutely would be a good guess, but it is not kangaroo.
Okay, since he is a Nazi, I'm going to say koalas.
Koalas, adorable, riddled with chlamydia. mostly fluff, not a delicacy. No, not koala meatballs, but
platypus.
It is something iconically Australian as well. In fact, you probably don't know what the Australian coat of arms looks like, but the coat of arms in Australia has two iconically Australian animals on it. One of them is the kangaroo and the other one is this animal. So he's eating the other animal off the Australian coat of arms.
Platypus. Did I say that? Platypus?
Not a platypus. Good guess, but not a platypus. Mostly beak, not good eating.
Emu?
It is an emu meatball.
Fucking what?
Yeah.
What a crazy weird. Do people eat them a lot down there, or is he?
I mean, it's hard to catch them, to be honest. They're real fast.
I mean, yeah, you got to get a really nice motorcycle, and you got to have a great hammer, and then if you can hit them on the head. But have you ever had emu?
No. I mean, because I've been vegetarian for 20 years now.
Okay.
Before that, I never ate emu. No.
When you were a kid, your parents weren't like, it's emu night, Wednesdays is emu
never
night.
Never ate emu at home, never ate kangaroo at home. We didn't eat anything like that you would consider to be an Australian animal at home. But you would go on like a school trip or whatever, and like you go and they'd be like, this is a witchetty grub, eat a witchetty grub. Or like, here, try some possum. So like I have.
Were you from Harry? What was a witchetty grub? Were you from Harry Potter's
Yeah,
world?
That's right. I went to Hogwarts. That's where I went to school. Went down to the train station one day and just ran into a wall and found myself at this school. Got some controversial opinions about trans people that I'm still dealing with as an adult. Don't know where they come from.
Yeah, it's turning me into a lunatic.
So witchetty grubs are an indigenous delicacy. They are literally grubs, but they taste like chicken. Like most things in nature, you know, taste like chicken.
Yeah.
But never tried emu. But I imagine it's high protein, low in fat, because emus are those. So
yeah, it's a big bird. I mean, I've had ostrich. Yeah. Eggs, for sure. They're large.
And then at 8:30 p.m. After dinner, before bed, a homemade coconut. Oh, hang on. No, sorry. You know what? I've realized that the comma here is because there's more things coming, not because it's like a stop to this thought. Because I was literally thinking that he had homemade a coconut.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. It sounded like he's making coconuts in his closet. And he's like, oh, another coconut's ready.
At 8:30 p.m., he has a homemade coconut, carob, blueberry, goji, and stevia muffin.
That doesn't sound good at all. He just ruined muffins. That's what he did. At the end of the day, he's like, I'm going to ruin the whole idea of muffins.
Just before bed, I'd like to ruin a muffin. And a chamomile tea. So that is his day on a plate.
I mean, is he eating this every day? Is there a variety to his madness? It seems like this is a strict thing he goes by. And that might be why he's so fucked in the head. Has anybody ever looked into that? Like, it could be that he's not eating well.
Activated nuts have been soaked in water for around 12 to 24 hours to begin the germination process. Then oftentimes slowly dried again so they're still crisps. Are they better for you?
No, it's a wet and then dried nut. What? How is that better? You just made something wet and then you dried it. It doesn't mean that now it's like, oh, now it's got more nutrients. You just made it wet. That means if there were floods, then all the food would be better. This is so fucking dumb.
I mean, there is a doctor here that just says, put simply, activated almonds are just regular almonds that have been soaked in water for 24 hours before being dried out again. Yes, I guess. That is what they are.
So there is a business that anyway, they are $90. Soaking nuts, and they've convinced everybody that's good, so they're wasting water and time. It's an extra nut process that is unnecessary.
Also, just absolutely amazing that, like, that is all it is. It's just like, We wet them and we dried them out again.
Yeah.
Like it's like you dropped your iPhone in the toilet. Oh no, it's great, mate. My iPhone's really great since I activated it. dropped it in the toilet, activated the shit out of it, put it in some rice, never been better.
Plus, you can just, like, I roll up with a, let's say I'm at a farmer's market and I've got a barrel full of nuts here. Ask me if they're activated.
Are your nuts activated?
Sure. That, yeah. Yeah, they've been soaked or whatever fucking crazy shit goes on in your head. Yeah. No, I soak these nuts. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They're activated. Yeah. It's, that's why they're $20 more a pound because they got really wet. I can't believe these people don't wear masks.
So, okay. So yesterday I go into this shop. Well, I was about to go into this shop and a woman in a mask came out. And this is one of the things about being one of the only people in a community to wear a mask is that in times of mask dilemmas and crisis, they go to the nearest masked person to share the story that just happened to them. And it's like some weird bond. I'm making a lot of friends. I don't know what their faces look like, but I can recognize them by the eyes at this point. And she had just had an encounter with somebody who had been yelling at her because she was still wearing a mask.
Sure.
And they were just like... And they apparently she said the whole thing. They were giving the whole, you know, what are you afraid of? And like, you know, and as we were both saying, COVID still, like definitely still afraid of COVID. Like,
no, it's still COVID. Right. I'm still afraid.
In fact,
of COVID.
There's more of it now. There's heaps more.
Yeah. It's gotten worse, actually. It's more infectious now. So,
and nobody else is doing anything. So I'm absolutely going to do the bare minimum. A thing that has been proved scientifically to help you more than it helps me. It helps me a bit, but it helps you actually more than it helps me. And you're yelling at me for doing that thing? Like, I get the whole idea of like, okay, we've lost the battle of people wearing masks. That battle is lost. And I am resigned to the fact that I've been resigned to that fact for 6 months because I've been living in a community where I just was the absolute minority. There was no way that I was turning back that tide. The only thing that I could do was really not go to places mostly. That was what I actually did because it was like, well, I can't be safe. But when I did need to go to places, just try to be as safe as I could possibly be. But this poor woman who then, of course, comes out to me and says, I'm a teacher and I have vulnerable children in my classes. And I have a kid who has, I think she said cerebral palsy, but it was certainly, you know, some disability that made them very, you know, susceptible to COVID. And yeah, that she said she does, you know, very close classes with and stuff. And every time she walks into a shop, she's carrying the weight of like, you know, these kids that she cares for. And now she's being yelled at somebody by somebody in the middle of the shop for, like, I mean, that's like being at an orgy and somebody yelling at you for not wearing a condom.
Which happened to me, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, did that person have a condom exemption? Like, that's really good. My doctor said.
Well, he just kept yelling, there's no more AIDS anymore. We're over it. Here's what I want to do. If a person comes out and says I was just yelled at, I want to have a little capsule in my pocket and I keep it in case of these incidences. And then I put it in my mouth and it creates like it turns my saliva into it looks like blood. Yeah. And then I want to go in there and have the person yell at me and go, "I'm sorry," and then take it off and just have the blood drip out of my mouth. I go, that would be fun.
That's really. And then
I
just
I have a guy yelling at me as I bleed out of my mouth and go, "I shouldn't wear it. You're right."
Well, you know what the thing is? Like, you don't even have to take it off. If you just had a little thing that kind of like sprayed, like you don't even need like a blood
capsule.
Like
sprays onto the mask.
Yeah, like it just makes the mask like you cough and it just kind of like it's actually like almost like a hypercolor t-shirt, like that technology where if you just kind of cough into the mask, it turns like a blood color and you're just like, I don't know, I've had this cough and I just thought it was better to keep the mask on. But man, I can take it off if you want me to take it off. I'm happy to...
It'd be so good. So we all have this, but that's all the mask wearers have left. It's just to terrify people.
So how do you live your life then? Because this is an interesting question. So like we've gone back to doing things. Like I was meant to be in Melbourne at the moment, but it looks like I'll be there for when people are hearing this for Wednesday. So for the last 3 weeks of the festival, it looks like I'm going to be able to get out of the flood zone and come down and do the show. But I come down and do the show and you're still living in... You know, people are making the choice to get on with their lives and go out and do things. And all you can do is encourage them to be as safe as they possibly can in those situations. But but you know that it's still out there. Like, I mean, even going into the festival, that idea of going, oh, man, I've already lost 4 shows. Like, if I lost a week to COVID, like a week minimum to COVID, then that's like more than half of your festival gone already. And it's,
yeah.
So even to work, you know, it terrifies you. Just like every interaction, you're like, is this the interaction that could mean I lose a week of my shows and all the things that come with that? So on a day-to-day sense, like with schools, you know, with Finn, with going back to school, like all those sort of things, like how are you guys dealing with like the world that you're living in?
Well, so the schools are, you know, it's crazy because, and this is the Democrats that did this here. Like, you know, the Republican states are always like, yeah, no, the kids don't have to wear masks and all their kids are getting COVID. And then Biden got in office and he was like, yeah, we're not going to do that either. So all the kids have to go back to school and no safety precautions were put in place. And we had masks for a long time. And then all of a sudden they just went, no, okay, masks off. And so that's where we are now. And I, you know, Finn came in and he was like, I don't want to wear a mask. And I was like, you know, that's a really bad idea. And I go, but you're also 12 and I can't go to school with you and make you wear a mask. It's got to be your choice. And then he didn't. And I got really bummed out. And then he saw I was bummed out and he's like, okay, I'll put on a mask. And some kids are wearing masks. I see them when I drop them off. He doesn't want to wear a mask, but I also talk to him and I go, it's not necessarily the dying part, which isn't going to happen. Like, it's the other things that I'm worried about that keep happening to people, like their teeth falling out. Like, I don't want the fucking really crazy stuff that's going on out there. So that...
Yeah, there's a lot of long coat. I mean, there's a lot of... And it's going to take a while for all of these things to manifest.
Yeah.
But it seems that what we're seeing at the moment is there's a lot of side effects of COVID. Yeah. And not necessarily one demonstrable side effect of COVID. Like, you know, it basically, it's a little like climate change COVID. It's like, it leans into things that perhaps were already wrong in the first place. In the same way as if you've always had like floods and droughts like Australia has, they're just going to get more extreme. It's not like you're like, they're just going to get bigger versions of droughts. And it seems a little bit like that as well. If you had one health issue in one way, that COVID can come along and just go, well, I'm going to fuck that up
yeah.
for you. That's going to be really bad now.
That's right. Like if you have depression, it makes depression worse. If you have anxiety, it does all this shit. So that aspect of it is super complicated and hard to tell people about because it's a no one's immediately getting it. And then it's not in the news. The news doesn't want to talk about that because then people would flip out. But that's, you know, that's the reality of the situation, which makes it this fucking crazy thing. And also for you and I, we're comedians and my wife's a therapist. So that brain fog thing, really don't want it. I don't know how that would affect my ability to be funny on stage.
I mean, probably, to be honest, make us both more relatable. Open us up to a bigger audience. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe I get COVID and I just start belting out some Jeff Foxworthy shit and get myself a Netflix special.
It's just all of a sudden all I talk about, I'm just doing dollops about the difference between men and women.
Yeah.
So the thing, I live in a house where I have a kid and they're like Australia. They're trying to infect all kids because they think herd immunity is the thing, but it's not, you can't, there's no herd immunity. So that's an obvious problem. But so I'm kind of counting down the days until it enters our house, you know? It's the other choice is to not send him to school, which isn't a viable choice for kids. Schools are very easy to make safe. A school in Brisbane just did it. They did a test with smoke and put it through the school and fans and saw the direction of how the smoke was going. And then they put in filters and no kids got COVID in that school. This isn't fucking hard. No one just wants to spend money or take the time. So I yell at the school board every month.
But I agree with that. That feels like the story everywhere is like we've thought of this the entire time as being like black and whites, right? Like, you know, such polar opposites. Like you either... There's, you know, we're going to live with COVID, therefore no one wear a mask or take any precautions. <It's> not- like versus lock everything down and we never do anything again. Like I get that we got to the point where we couldn't lock everything down and never do anything again. Like we got beyond that point. We had to get back on with life in some sort of like safe and way. But like that should have just come with here are the most, you know, vulnerable people in society. And we're firstly going to put all this stuff like in aged care homes and schools. Like, you know, the people who are going to spread it the most, like, you know, because this idea that kids, it's a bit of a bullshit idea, but this prevailing wisdom, if there is one, that kids, you know, spread it pretty quickly, but most of them don't get that sick from it, you know.
That's bullshit, but yeah.
Yeah, but even if that was the prevailing wisdom that they were working under, right, is kids don't live all by themselves. That would be fine if it was just an island of kids where all the kids only saw other kids. But turns out kids see heaps of adults, right, Jimmy? Like heaps. Like it's almost compulsory.
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on island of kids. I'm absolute nightmare. Like that is like Lord of the Flies times a million. Just the conscious of fucking nightmare. There's so much murder. Yeah, I don't like Island of Kids. Let's not do that. So a kids only world. The thing is this is eugenics that our societies are going through. What you just talked about, kids don't live alone. They don't go home and you know, then feed their dog and go to fucking bed. There's parents there that take care of them, and a ton of them are immunocompromised or have an old person living in the house or whatever the fuck it is. So if kids get it, that doesn't, they're just the vectors. If we just go by the fact that their belief, which is that kids don't actually get hurt by COVID, then you're spreading it to fucking people. It's this whole thing is just completely fucking insane.
Yeah. No, basically what you've done is armed an entire, like it's Manchurian Candidate style. Like, you know, basically you've just said, hey, we'll get a whole bunch of spreaders, super spreaders. Like, you know what old people can't ignore? Cute little kids. We are going to get the cute little kids to be riddled with this. It won't affect them. They might not even know they have it. That's the thing. And then we'll get them to cuddle Nana, and then we're done with some old people.
Then we're done with Nana, and then we can finally tackle climate change. Mm. Because the Nanas are all gone. Yeah, it's very interesting to watch you guys go through it in a very rapid process, whereas we went through it for 2 years. But the slow process to get here has been excruciating, because at the end of the day, there are just so many fucking stupid people on this earth. And it is, talk about something that I didn't realize how many people were dumb until now. And I'm like, there's just a lot of dummies. We live in a world of dummies, and dummies are happy to set themselves on fire and run into a barn because they can, you know, and you're just like, all right, I don't know what to do. You look back at all the plague and stuff, people will probably be like, why don't we just stay in our house for like 6 days and the plague might go away? And someone's like, I gotta get my beets. And he's out there, you know, they're all getting their fucking beets. And everyone's like, you could have just stayed in the house, Frank. And then everyone in the house is dead. And he's like, I needed my beets. Mm. Like, this has been going on forever.
Yeah. And then he's out at some other market going, everyone in my town died, but if you eat these cultured beets, you'll be fine. 90 bits of gold.
I soaked them. Yeah. I soaked these beets for a whole day. They're better beets.
In my family's blood. In my family's plague blood.
Family didn't need their blood anymore.
Well, I agree with you about, it's funny, isn't it, that like, so many people in Australia, the story is actually a little bit more optimistic in Australia, which is, like, because if you look at our vaccination numbers and stuff, like, most people complied in the end. Most people did the right thing. And it is the reason that our, like, even though COVID is rampant in the community and, like, we don't know what the long-term effects of having COVID are going to be on people, our hospitalizations and stuff have really plateaued and gone backwards, and they seem to be managing it well, and the deaths are right down. Still fucking lots of deaths, by the way, like, for Australia in particular, you know, like, for a country that's just not used to those sort of numbers. But, you know, it's keeping it at a manageable sort of level, at least in that regard, because they took all the time up until this point to get as many people vaccinated as possible. But there's still people that when you come up against them, you just realize they see the world in a completely different way. And during the floods that we've just had here where I live, the once in a lifetime floods that we've had twice in the last month, there was somebody who... So communications were hard in this area, and they are hard in this area at the best of times, but they were made harder during the floods because somebody had taken that opportunity to burn down the 5G Telstra tower.
What?
Yeah, because, you know, 5G, like, so they...
Seriously?
Yeah, in the
are
middle of a
kidding?
Natural disaster. So,
My God. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like... We are, the amount of damage that idiots can do is incredible, because it just takes a few idiots to just do things like that. And you're like, oh, look how much chaos that caused and how many people that hurt. But it was just some idiot. It was just like, 5G's the reason. and then that's it. And then you can't talk to, you know, people who are in trouble.
I mean, also, it's just a big call when you're already in the middle of the natural disaster and you're like, no. It's 5G. The place this that has less 5G than anywhere else in Australia, literally the place that has kept it out for longest, is the most fucked up at the moment. So maybe it's the opposite. I reckon we need more 5G is what I'm suggesting. Build a few more towers.
Was it a burning tower surrounded by water? Like what was the... Did they actually burn it? Did they burn the tower or did they smash it down?
Yeah, well, they vandalized and smashed it. But yeah, it was mid-floods, now, so it was in between the two floods.
Can I ask you something? And this is just a hypothetical. Yes. So for 2 miles around, circumference of 2 miles around, did anybody have COVID? Or no, they didn't get COVID after that, right?
It's a good point. Mm-hmm. That would require people to test for COVID. So I'm not sure we'll ever be able to perfectly get those statistics in my little community. There was a period of time where, obviously straight when Australia went from, went to our letter rip approach where, we went from having less than, a couple of hundred daily COVID cases to, 20,000 in a couple of weeks. And we couldn't get RAT tests. Like the government basically just said, we're going to stop PCRs and you can't get, you're going to have to do these rapid tests yourself and you're going to have to buy them. And they were so expensive because they were just anyway, now obviously in my local town at that time, all the local chemists and stuff were oh shit, there's such a demand on these. We've got to buy them. And now for months, they've just had this stack of tests that are not being used by anybody in the community. I think they built them into rafts to float away in the floods. That was the only use they found for them.
Oh, God, that's amazing. Good for them. You know what? It sounds like a great system you guys have there, and I, as an American, I envy it.
Okay, so we have to finish up soon, but I want to talk about the dollop coming to Australia because that is happening very soon.
We are doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to be on some shows. That is true.
You're going to be on some shows.
You touring all over Australia? Is there anywhere in Australia that you're not making it to? Is there a state that was too hard to get into? Is there still borders that are hard to cross in Australia?
Well, we were going to do New Zealand, but we decided that would be a little too complicated, problems could arise that would be, between borders that would be not great. Perth, obviously, we had to wait on. That was Perth was supposed to be our first show. We had to switch it to our last show because we didn't know what was going on with Perth. And then they decided to join everybody else. That's it. We made it smaller. Like we could have gone, we could have done the Hobart thing again. But it's just
how much do you want to risk? How many things going wrong do you want to risk
for Hobart? I mean, I love Tasmania, but is it worth it?
Tasmania, yeah. By the way, I know that they have missed out on stuff for a little while, but here's what I'm going to say. The amount of Googling of property in Tasmania I have done in the last few months. You guys wait a few years. I feel like you're going to have a very vibrant scene and community down in your part of the world because I am looking for somewhere with a better climate.
Yeah, but then they'll have their own, every place is going to have their, whatever their climate change thing is.
Yeah, I know, but Tasmania's probably going to get, to be honest, in the short term, in my immediate lifetime, what they're going to get is the heating that everywhere else in Australia is going to get. And that's going to make Tasmania a really ideal climate. It's a little nippy at the moment. It's a tiny little bit cold for my sensibilities and my aching arthritic hips. But it warms up a few degrees. Suddenly it's a paradise is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, all right. Yeah, I get it. I'm eyeing places up on the border near Canada. There's definitely states I'm checking out right now. Get as close to Canada as I can.
We didn't talk about the slap because, everybody in the world has talked about the slap. And I mean, the fact that people are still talking about this. We had twice in a month, once in a generation, fucking floods in my part of the world. And it is no longer on any of the major websites in Australia as a front page story. But that fucking slap is still being debated. Everybody's having an opinion about the slap. So we may as well fucking weigh in on the... On the slap, did you see it? Did you see it when it happened? Were you watching the Oscars?
I did. Well, No, I don't watch the Oscars. So I haven't watched them in like 15 or 20 years. But as soon as it happened, I got messages and then tuned it in. But I had missed it at that point. But yeah, rich people are fucking crazy. I think that's the number one. Rich celebrities are really out of their fucking minds. And that's example number one.
I mean, yeah. I mean, on a principle of do I care about a millionaire slapping another millionaire? No, it should be more of it. In fact, poor people should be slapping millionaires. We should get the millionaires yes. only on the end of receiving the slaps, not dishing out the slaps.
That's right.
It would be what I would say. And of course, am I against yeah. the principle of people like coming up on stage and hitting comedians? Absolutely. 100% against it as a blanket rule. Let's just be honest that I don't want anyone coming and punching me on stage for something that I've said.
Although we can both think of comedians who should be slapped on stage. So it is.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. And like, I mean, Chris Rock told a shitty joke. Like, you know, there's no doubt about that. It was a shitty joke. Like, but you don't, it wasn't shitty enough to go and assault people, you know, on national TV shitty. Like, it's shitty enough to, you know what, if you want to sort it out in the Vanity Fair car park after the award show, like if you, like there, sure. You know what, if I heard that Will Smith slapped Chris Rock in like an alleyway at the Vanity Fair party after the Oscars, then.
Be like, oh.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or, you know what? Just roll the dice on the fact that you were going to win. Like,
right?
Roll the dice on the fact that you were going to win. And then when you get up there, make your little speech where everybody loves you and gives you a standing ovation. And then go, and by the way, I'd like to thank my wife, you know, for blah, 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 for yeah. the support and everything that you would say about her. And go, and I think it's time for us to call a stop on really cheap jokes at people's appearance. And, you know, she's been like, you know, be very public about this. And Chris, I think you're a better comedian than this, and this is beneath you. And I just want to take this moment to realize that anything that you want to say to me, I'm here tonight. If you want to have a crack at me, I'm absolutely cool with that. But you went too far. And Chris Rock would have been dead. His career yeah. would have been over.
He would have been,
you know what I mean?
He would have been totally fucked. He would have been totally fucked.
He would have been fucked because the story would have been Chris Rock told a terrible joke and Will Smith called him out on yeah. it. And Will Smith would have been a hero and Chris Rock would have been fucked. Instead, Chris Rock's sales have gone
oh my
up
God.
Everywhere.
Through the roof.
Through the roof.
I'm sure his deal for a new Netflix special just went through the roof. Like, yeah.
I mean, millions of dollars, millions. Right? And even the fact that he hasn't talked about it, like he's just waiting. He's yeah. like, he knows.
He knows. He's
he knows
he's put
that
his
like at some
together.
Stage he's going to put this together.
Yeah, yeah.
And the longer he waits, almost the better it is.
Look, at the end of the day, Will Smith is a really rich, popular guy who whose wife went on her podcast and announced that she was fucking somebody else and that they now had an open marriage without talking to him about it. So during the, you know, early part of the show, Regina, whatever her name is, the other one of the hosts, did a joke about Paul. Their open relationship, and he was fucking livid sitting in that fucking chair. And then he heard another joke and he took it out on a dude when he was actually mad about other stuff.
Well, I think he was mad. So Rebel Wilson did one at the BAFTAs, a similar sort of like joke apparently that was. And so I think he'd had like Rebel and Regina and a whole bunch of women make the jokes. And he's been sitting there going, I cannot slap any of them, which is a good point.
Yes.
You cannot.
Yep.
That is yep. that is good instincts. Trust them there. Yeah.
And once in a while, he holds back on a slap.
But I got to get this slap out somewhere. I'm going to slap it out of your mouth. I've never can't. Seen somebody absolutely self-sabotage what should have been. Like, to me, this is the bit, is the implosion of you were about to have the greatest moment of your entire career.
Yeah.
Like, this was, you know, you were about to be rewarded by Hollywood for your entire career. You would be lauded. You would spoke Oscar winner, you know, for King Richard, Will Smith, like, you know, legitimate superstar. You know, you can open a big dumb movie, but you're also like, you know, recognize the fact that you actually can act as well. This is going to be the crowning moment of your entire life. And you fucked it all up. You fucked it all up.
Fucked it. You fucked up the night, but you also fucked up your career. Like, people aren't happy, and you went from being Mr. Harmless, nice guy, everybody likes you, to overnight being like, do people want to see him in movies? He comes with a big thing of baggage now. When you look at certain actors, you think of, you know, that's why a lot of actors don't want to be political and say stuff, because they don't want people to look at them when they're in a movie or something and have that in the back of their head. But he just, that's all gone for him. Like, he's now the crazy guy who slaps people on stage, which, you know, could also be his new career. He could be the guy hired to come in and slap people on stage.
The slap guy.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, right? Like, you know, this is what The Rock puts in, right? The Rock, when he's like president, he like reaches out to Will Smith. He like understands, you know, Hollywood showbiz. He goes, occasionally, you know, the way I'm going to sort this out, you know, there's going to be some people who need a slapping. You know, this is how The Rock handles the press. Like Tucker Carlson's there doing his show, suddenly Will Smith walks in, slaps him in the face.
Is that
Putin? He gets slapped in the face.
Have you met our slap czar? Our slap czar's here. And then he just comes in and slaps him. And everyone's loving Will Smith. They're like, I love this guy. He's the best slapper that America has.
Send him overseas to slap on America's behalf.
We should totally have a slapper. Because who's going to do anything? Everyone's scared of us. We have all our nukes and all our weapons. We could just go around slapping other leaders. Right. And yeah, this has got to be our thing. Will Smith slapper. Yeah.
I think, well, at the very least, like challenging someone to a duel. So if America's going to go to war with someone, they have to send like Will Smith over first to like slap them personally in the face. And then you know that it's on.
That's right. That's how all our wars start from here on out.
So Dave Anthony, Dollop's coming down under. People can buy tickets. Where do they go to find tickets for that?
Dolloppodcast.com. Our tour links are there, and you can get ticket links to all the shows. And it starts on, I believe, the 19th of April is our first show. Could be the 18th. No, I think it's the 19th. But we do, you know, we do the Sydney and I think two shows in Sydney, a couple shows in Melbourne, Brisbane, Canberra, Perth, Adelaide, the huge, the big five, we call that. What do you guys call them down there? Not making it to Darwin again.
Not making it to Darwin.
Can you believe it?
So hang on. So did you do Darwin last time? You did Darwin? Darwin Entertainment Center.
No, but I have a desire to someday do Darwin. I keep bringing it up, but it keeps not happening. But I would like to just go there.
I got to be honest with you. I imagine you could sell out the Darwin Entertainment Center doing the Dollop up there. Like, particularly if you had, I know you don't normally advertise it with like a guest, but if you had like somebody that they knew of.
Oh, yeah.
Up there, if you said like, you know, I think that the Entertainment Center is a pretty nice venue up there, and it's pretty big, but I reckon you'd probably be able to sell
that. I mean, I would love to try that. Why not? I also just want to see it.
Have you been to Darwin?
No, I've never been
there.
I've never been to the northern part of your island.
Yeah. It's like hot Alaska is what I say.
So Alaska in 10 years.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Like, it's amazing. It's like, it is our version of the Wild West, but it has this like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, people drink a lot and the weather sends people absolutely tropo. And it's like, because it can be so humid and the build up to the wet season is just so oppressive. And it's just like a bit old school Australian as well. Like, you know, obviously it's in the middle of a desert and, you know, you have that sense of like the First Nations community, you know, really being a huge part of it. And yeah, I've had some of the most fun times of my entire life in Darwin. It's like a...
Really?
Yeah. Like everyone there, you know, the rule is always you don't ask people what they did before they came to Darwin. Darwin's a place that you come to escape whatever was happening. It might just be a bad relationship or a job that you've walked away from or like something more serious. But like, you know, there's pre-Darwin and post-Darwin. And you only really talk about the Darwin times.
That's so funny.
All right.
Odds are if I go there, I get eaten by a crocodile, though.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, but it's a possibility. Yeah. There's absolutely a possibility that you could get eaten by a crocodile or like stung to death by a stingray. That can happen. Or, you know, some sort of deadly jellyfish because you dip your toe in the water up there. That could kill you. A dingo. Definitely a dingo. Most likely a local who'll just drive you out into the desert and bury you somewhere would be my absolute tip.
This pickup truck. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But definitely you could die. No doubt that you could die.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
Thanks for doing the show, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
This podcast is a TOEFOP production.
Head to TOEFOP.com for more
cool things for cool people.